Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 26th of March, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday.
And happy Friday to you. Also with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Now, you may have noticed we have an additional person on a Friday. And part of the reason is because today we are not actually doing Security Friday. What we are going to do is we are going to talk to you about shortcuts and what they are and how you can use them and some of the ways that you can make your life better. So I know Andrew is a huge fan of shortcuts. Dave has shortcuts he uses. I feel like I should. So I'm just going to ask them a bunch of questions about shortcuts and how it works. So Dave, I'm going to start with you because I think you and I have had a conversation about how Apple bought Workflow.
Correct.
And turned Workflow into shortcuts.
Yeah, that's right. So, what you see as shortcuts is the evolution of an app that you said called Workflow. It's a little bit different, but the gist is the same. It has a little more native integration into iOS now because it's an Apple product, which is a good thing. You know, those guys were really clever about how they got things to work and tied apps together when Apple doesn't really provide a way of doing that. But but they succeeded greatly. And I had, when it was Workflow, I had some shortcuts. Like, you know, we use Slack here at TMO, and we have a leads channel of things that we see that we would want to, you know, have someone follow up on and maybe write a piece about or talk about on a show or something. And so I had built a shortcut it was a very, very simple shortcut. It would add whatever I passed to it as directly to the leads channel in at TMO. So I wouldn't have to choose, like I could hit the share sheet and just choose that and be done instead of having to hit the share sheet, choose Slack, choose the Mac Observer workspace
because I've got
six, and then choose which channel within it. That's a very pedantic process. And that's exactly what shortcuts are for, is taking these multi-step things and just doing them in one fell swoop. I had a tip calculator that my son built in shortcuts that would make the final number, like the final total, a palindrome. So
nice.
He built that in shortcuts. So those sorts of things. In fact, now I have a shortcut that I use called Nap Time. And what it does is I just started it. Dang it.
Can
still hear me, right? Okay. Sweet.
Yes.
Great. I was going to look at the steps that it does, and instead I ran it. So what it does is it starts a timer for 22 minutes. It turns Do Not Disturb on my phone. It then pings. I have Keyboard Maestro running on my Mac. And so Keyboard Maestro allows you to have JSON queries to endpoint URLs. And really, it doesn't even have to be a JSON query. It can just be a very, very simple like GET query. And so I have it pull a URL that triggers a Keyboard Maestro macro to darken my Mac screen and mute my Mac speakers.
Hey.
Right?
This is a serious shortcut. You're doing a lot of steps here.
Yeah, and then it opens the white noise app, which you might have heard, which then starts playing my favorite white noise playlist, or not playlist, but mix, so that, you know, I can, and literally all I have to do is say, you know, Siri Nap Time, and all of that happens, and I just lay down and go to sleep. And I remind myself of how Charlie on Always Sunny would huff some glue and they would chug half a beer and they would eat some cat food and then immediately like crawl into bed and fall asleep. I don't do those three things. All I have to do is say Siri Nap Time, and then I can immediately lay down on the couch and fall asleep. And it's great. And 22 minutes is great. And it saves me from the dangers of the glue and the, you know, the other things.
The glue and the cat food are not recommended. by Mac right. Observer. Please consult your physician. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
we're not dispensing medical advice.
Sorry.
So that's one with a load of shortcut, with a load of steps that all get condensed into this one thing where you say something. So Andrew, I know you have a few as well, because I know you've written about shortcuts over at Mac Observer before. So I know you have some that do a lot of interesting stuff as part of your workflow. Do you have any that do a ton of steps for you in the background, like Dave's Naptime shortcut?
So I use shortcuts. It used to be called workflow.
Yeah.
But I use shortcuts every day. And there are, you know, it's there. You can build a shortcut for just about anything that you want to automate, like Dave was saying. I think the best way to think about shortcuts is that it's just a very basic programming language. And it's great for automation. So, for example, I have shortcuts for work where, you know, we have these header images on our articles that are supposed to be in a certain width and height. I have a shortcut that I built that can automatically, you know, resize and crop those images for the for my articles. And I have other ones where it... this is one by Federico Vitici, where you take a device screenshot on your iPhone or iPad, and then you run it through the shortcut, and it puts that image in a like a mock-up of an iPhone or an iPad, just so it looks a little bit fancier.
The frames, like we've seen before.
That's how you do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude.
Yeah. And when there are new devices, he comes out with that. I see that go by occasionally. He's like, you know, we've added the notch as one of your shortcut frame, one of your screenshot frame options. Like I've seen that go by occasionally. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's really smart.
It's awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's really great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's pretty good. It's great just because it's this really big shortcut and it supports a whole range of Apple devices. So yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's very inside baseball. Like most people listening are probably like, why are they so excited about this? but in order to get you the articles that we get you efficiently and accurately and all that, like this now really saves us a lot of time. Like, that's great.
And it's a nice touch if you're going to have a screenshot of something running on an iPhone to have it look like it's running on an iPhone. And so having that option or running on an iPad and being able to put that around, it makes it look a little more sensible, because it sort of sometimes feels like those screenshots are out of context without the phone around them. So I always appreciate the frames on those. So thank you, Andrew, for picking up that shortcut. It's pretty great.
And so I guess, you know, like I said, there's just so many different things you can do with shortcuts. But to go back to your original question, okay, so I pulled up shortcuts on my iPhone, and I think you said, what's something that has a lot of actions?
Yes.
And so I'm looking at one that I created. It says it has 178 actions. And
good heavens,
this is something that I built for myself. So something that I like to do is I like to collect concept art. This could be, you know, like fantasy concept art, like, oh, someone made a cool character, you know, like on DeviantArt, for example, or hey, look at this cool concept spaceship. Like, I think it's really nice to just, I don't know, if I'm bored or whatever, just to scroll through all these cool things that people have created. And I have set up my file system to, in a very particular way, I'll just put it that way. And so the shortcut lets me, I run it through the share sheet, and if I'm on a website, I open the share sheet, tap this shortcut, and then it'll say, like what genre is a concept art? Where do I want to save it? But I automate it in a certain way so that, for example, if I want to save a fantasy piece of concept art, I select various genres that I set up and I tap a couple menus, and then it like renames it. It saves it to the correct file and folder automatically. And so it's really nice. And
cool.
With this particular one, so like Shortcuts is Apple's app, but other developers have created apps that work with Shortcuts.
Yeah.
And so just as an example, this one uses this third-party app called Data Jar, and this helps me like automatically name it in a sequential form. So like I have, you know, for example, concept art one, concept art two, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And this just saves a lot of that. And just like I said, it's just, it does it all automatically for the most part.
Interesting. Okay. So you mentioned working with other applications. We're going to talk about Shortcuts on a slightly larger scale. There's your teaser. As soon as I'm done, telling you about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is She's Birdie. And they make the Birdie, which is a personal safety alarm. It's very easy to carry. It's a little rectangle. It sort of looks like one of those little iPhone battery packs. And you pull the tab out of the top of it, and it is very, very bright and very, very loud. You get a 130 decibel alarm, and this flashing strobe light starts going off, and it will absolutely draw attention to a thing and make sure that people are that you have an audience for whatever it is that's about to happen. So it's very easy to use. Like I said, it's pretty small, and the tab is just the right amount of pull so you can't do it accidentally. But if you need to do it, it will totally happen. It's not very big, like I said. So if you clip it to your keys, and it comes with an attachment, so you can clip it to your keys or clip it to your bag, it's going to look pretty inconspicuous, and it's very easy to carry around with you. And it comes in lots of colors. They're all pretty cute. If you or someone you know is someone who could use something like this, my listeners get 15% off the first purchase you make over at shesbirdie.com/TDO. You have to go to shesbirdie.com/TDO. That will get you 15% off your first purchase. Again, shesbirdie.com/TDO. We'd like to thank Birdie for sponsoring the show today. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, and Dave, I know this is something that you do, and that is being able to use a shortcut to affect other stuff, not necessarily a screenshot or turn on a particular app on your phone, but maybe running stuff in your house.
Sure. Yeah. You know, the automations that exist in HomeKit are very tied to shortcuts and can be used to sort of do things in a very shortcutty way. So, they're pretty robust what you can do with automations. It's the kind of thing where, let's say I come home from a gig, my lights outside are already off. They turn off at midnight, right? I get home at 2 a.m. I unload my driveway. It is between where I park my car and have my gear and the house. Like my office is on one side of the driveway and the house is on the other. And so I want the driveway to be lit while I, you know, walk across after I do this stuff. And so I have this shortcut in automation in HomeKit to do exactly that. When it senses motion in the driveway, between midnight and 6 a.m., it turns on the lights, but it sets them to orange so that it's not like super bright.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 minutes later, it turns them off again, which is kind of a cool little thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like
to do that automatically.
Yeah, you can. It just happens. I don't worry about it. And the nice part about the orange is twofold. One, it is like a nicer color at night. It's not like the super bright color that I would normally have in the evening. But also when I see it turn orange, I know that the shortcut is the thing that caused the lights to come on because they never come on orange any other time. And then I know they will turn off. Like I don't have to go through my phone and be like, oh, is it going to turn off the lights? Because if I have to do that, then I might as well just turn them off. The orange is a good cue that says, yep, this is working the way you wrote it to work. So,
yeah, and this is the automated thing that you built that we know is going to happen. Yeah.
Thing that you built. While we're at it, I have a scene that I use in HomeKit that I'd like to share. So somewhat of an automation, definitely not a shortcut. With all the DoorDash that we have been doing here in pandemic, I realized once, I was like, wait a minute, I could make life super easy for the DoorDash driver. So I have instructions in DoorDash, which persist on your account. Whatever mm-hmm. instructions you've given to previous drivers get copied over to new orders. And I tell them, come to the house with the red and blue lights, put the food on the table in the driveway by the yellow light. And so there's no question about which door, how do I, what do I? Mm-hmm. And then all I do is say, Siri, DoorDash. It launches this scene that does exactly what I just described. And boom, all I have to do is remember to put the table out and we're good to go. I'm sure my neighbors are like, wow, they order from DoorDash a lot. But, you know, I don't know that they listen to any of my shows. So maybe they don't know. I haven't posted about this in like my neighborhood Facebook group or anything. I've just let them wonder what's going on, which is probably best. But it's a good little tip. Like, so there you go.
Yeah. We'll have to have you come back later and do a separate discussion about HomeKit and how you have the colored lights outside and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I skipped over all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, now I haven't spent any time with this. I don't know if either of you have, but you can get NFC tags and you can program them with certain things. So like the one I see most commonly that people use is I have an NFC tag and you bonk it with your phone, like it's Apple Pay, and it feeds the Wi-Fi network information to your phone. And so now you're on the Wi-Fi automatically just by bonking on the thing. And you don't have to like, here's the long weird password for my Wi-Fi network or anything like that. You just touch it with your phone and then you can be connected to the Wi-Fi and you don't have to do anything else besides that. So,
right. So this
that works
is
pretty nifty.
What you described is not a shortcut.
No.
Because you need an app, and they do exist. I can't remember off the top of my head, where you buy NFC tags and you can get them cheap from Amazon, like 25 of them for $10. Right. Yeah. And the NFC tags, like you said, can have data in them mm-hmm. and you can program them just like you said with your Wi-Fi network and some other things if you want. So that's one way of using NFC tags and a valuable one. You can also use NFC tags as the trigger for a shortcut. So for example, you could put an NFC tag by your, your workout equipment or your bicycle or something. Right. And you can just tap your phone on the NFC tag that's right there. And it will, you would build a shortcut in the Shortcuts app. And as the start, you wouldn't use a, Siri action. You would use an NFC as the trigger. Mm-hmm. And when you say, I want to use NFC for Shortcuts, it says, cool, tap the tag that you want us to use. And then it will do that. Right. And no problem. And it works fantastic. The one thing I will say is, we mentioned NFC tags can have data in them that is actionable, like your Wi-Fi network, and also can be the triggers. The same NFC tag could do both, but you need to be careful because if you have your Wi-Fi network NFC tag and also have your phone set every time it sees that NFC tag to do something, it might get a little confusing. You might want to use separate NFC tags.
Yeah, one-to-one
program
is sometimes
don't program
easier.
Things into the tags that you're using as triggers because they will then start doing two things and that you may or may not want. I mean, you can get really creative with this, obviously.
Yeah,
but yeah. NFC tags are cool. It is worth learning on your phone where its NFC reader is. I have learned on my 12 mini that it is on the top the top side opposite where the cameras are. Mm-hmm. It's not like in the middle where the Qi pad is and things like that. So it just, most of those NFC tags are not nearly as responsive as Apple Pay. Apple Pay, you get your phone near the terminal and it goes.
In the vicinity is good enough. And yeah,
That's not how NFC works because the tags are passive. They don't have batteries or any kind of power. So you once you learn, it makes life way easier. So, yeah.
Excellent. All right. So that's going to do it for us today. If you have more questions about this, you can always get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So thank you, Dave and Andrew, for being here today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I want to wish you all a great weekend. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other and be careful out there.